welcome to Faith FM Drive Time. You're listening to Big Q&A. This is the show where we tackle life's biggest questions about God, faith, religion, and the Bible. Together we explore what the Bible really says about the issues that matter most and discover practical answers for everyday life. No question is off limits here because every question deserves an honest answer, and the Bible is where we must go for answers you can trust. Good evening, I'm Caden, your host for today. I'm the pastor of the Brighton and Merrows Park Seventh-day Adventist Churches here in Adelaide, South Australia. Thank you for joining me as we explore life's biggest questions and discover the hope God offers. This week on Drive Time, our theme has been Beyond the Grave, the Bible and the passing of death. We're exploring what the Bible really teaches about death, the grave, the resurrection, and the hope God offers beyond this present life. Perhaps a topic we don't talk about too much or don't want to talk about as well. And today, our big question for the day is the resurrection real? Is the resurrection really real? For many people, death feels final. It could be frightening. It could be full of mystery. What actually takes place afterwards, if anything? Others wonder if there is really any hope beyond the grave. Is what religions and Christians say true, or is it a scam? What does the Bible actually teach about the afterlife? Will there be a resurrection? And if so, what happens? Who's going to be resurrected? And why does this matter? So today we're going to be exploring all this together. And to help us do that, we'd like to welcome back to the show our favourite here on Thursday evening, Lindy Spurring, who's going to be joining for our discussion. Lindy, it's great to have you back. How are you doing?
Very well. A serious topic tonight, Pastor Caden.
It is.
But I just love the fact that the Word of God has the answers for us.
That's exactly right. The answers are there in the Word.
Absolutely.
If you choose to look. Mm-hmm. And so we're going to be looking at that tonight and looking at it very closely. But have you heard the saying, there's two guarantees in life?
Yes. Is that taxes and death?
And death, yeah. And
neither of them are very inviting.
Neither of them you really want to talk about too much.
No.
Or inviting.
No.
But, we do need to talk about this because it's
Absolutely.
Something that everyone faces, mm-hmm. Obviously, but also in our personal lives as well, with the loss of loved ones. That's a reality.
And in your role as a pastor and in my role as a chaplain, we've often had to take funerals and attend them as well.
Yes.
For people we may not be close to us, and then our own family members we've had to attend funerals. So,
yeah, it's very
sober,
very serious, very, very sad, but there is hope.
Absolutely.
And that's what I love about these topics and the Bible, because God offers us hope beyond all of this.
Beyond the grave.
Yes, hope beyond the grave. And so let's go to our regular segment, looking at the news, our World Watch, to see what's going on. And so, Lindy, I picked up this story here from The Guardian. This is happening in the UK. And I guess a flow-on effect from the social media ban that sort of took place here in Australia.
Which didn't work so well, I believe.
No, but they're talking about it there and asking for something similar. So this is The Guardian, released Tuesday, 26th of May, so just a few days ago. And it says, mother of boy who may have died in TikTok challenge, urges number 10, which is the Prime Minister there, to ban social media. Ellen Room, whose son Jules Sweeney was 14 when he died, wants a ban put in place for under 16s on social media, it says. The mother of a teenager who believes he died in a TikTok challenge gone wrong has said Downing Street has been too slow to move towards a social media ban for under 16s and accuse the government of kicking it down the road. Ellen Room, the mother of Jules Sweeney, 14, is among the families who will meet Keir Starmer on Tuesday as a consultation on a possible social media ban, which closes this week. It's quoting and says, come on, get a grip, let's actually stand up and do something. Make a decision, she said on BBC Radio. I don't care if they take it away for adults and children until it's safe. Just take it away, fix it, and then we can have it back. Broom said she hoped a ban would give technology companies the impetus to make the platform safer. She said they spend millions and billions of pounds on making their system. They could spend some money actually fixing their system and say this is now a safe product and give it back. But until it's safe, I absolutely wholeheartedly say, take it away. So Anna Tooley, the Labor Party chair, said the government would seize this moment but said it was right to have taken the time for consultation. We need to make sure that legislation and protection keeps pace with technology as it changes and protects our children going forward, she added. We've got legislation in place already to enable us to take these powers, so we'll be acting as soon as possible because we need to make sure we protect children going forward and we get this right. And Lindy, I thought this next bit was interesting. It says the former health secretary, Wes Streeting, who compared social media to tobacco in a Guardian interview on Monday, told Today that the tech companies were to blame for making their products so addictive. What do you think social media, tobacco, at a comparable addiction level?
I'm sorry, I'm sort of laughing at the comparison, but yes.
Well, do you think there's any truth to it though?
Oh, I think there's a lot of truth to it for sure.
Yeah.
Like, let's be honest, Pastor Caden, you and I use our phones for quite a number of things, don't we?
Oh, absolutely.
I use
it. There's a number of good things.
There's a number of good things. I check out the weather.
Yes.
Check out the news. I check out the pastoral team interaction prayer requests that I'm on.
Yes.
I check out sometimes my work emails when I'm not at work. So there's a lot of things that a phone could have good.
Yeah.
But then there's the other side.
There's a lot of rubbish.
Exactly. Exactly.
And the rubbish is, I don't know about you, but I find very addictive.
Well, how do you control it? Like, you know, you can walk into a newsagent's, and in the old days you walked into a newsagent's and there were certain magazines that were covered in plastic so you couldn't see into them.
Yeah, that's right.
Had to be an adult.
I remember that. Yeah.
But on these devices, everything goes almost, and
that's right.
And there's something about the screen, and when you're looking at it, you just get caught up in it.
Oh yeah, it's designed to model gambling and pokey machines and all that, so you get your fix and your hits, and keep getting more hits.
Yes.
You know, the likes, every like you get is another hit, and it keeps you, makes you hungry for more.
Yes, absolutely. I'd like to know a bit more about how this boy died. I suppose it tells us. But, you know, I think this type of technology can be used for good and it can be used for bad.
Yeah.
Used for bad.
It says here they know that is harmful, talking about the companies that make the stuff. The business model is orientated towards getting kids while they're young, addicting them with the design features that are designed for addiction to grab your attention and keep you on their platform for as long as possible, he said. There was a growing body of evidence about the impact of this technology on childhood, whether that is sleep, concentration, learning, health, well-being, including mental health. The harms are evident and the precautionary principle should apply here. I guess it's a case, Lindy, that technology is advancing and these things are advancing and a lot of stuff is being released now related to technology and AI that it's so fast that we're actually not realizing the effects of it till much later on.
And I think it's happening so quickly, as you said, there's not enough regulations being put in place to keep up with the improve and the ability to access it from so many different places and to access all sorts of information that is really harmful to children. Like even television in the past can be harmful to children.
Yeah, definitely.
I remember when my daughter was in daycare, just due to our situation at the time, that the carers of her said that many of the other children were up till 10, 11, 12 o'clock at night because their parents just stuck them in front of the TV. We're talking 2 and 3 year olds.
Wow.
Pastor Caden.
Wow.
2 and 3 year olds. Whereas our daughter had a system, she'd have her dinner, she'd have some time, she'd have prayer, go to bed.
Yeah.
And so this happened, I'm talking many, many years ago.
Oh, okay.
So I don't think things have improved necessarily with parents.
No. And if you look at the online world and you look at these sites, these platforms or these apps, there is a lot of junk and it's just mostly time wasting, really.
Well, that's right.
You think we live in a time poor society where we're all rushing to go here and there and that sort of thing. But then when you really look into it, how many of us are spending hours upon hours upon hours on our devices, addicted to this? You know, as soon as you have a spare moment in your day, what's everyone do? They get out their device and
go to a restaurant.
You go to a restaurant.
What everyone's doing.
What's everyone doing? Mm-hmm. You know,
they're not talking to each other. They're on their phones. And it's a bit sad. I took some programs in the Riverland over the weekend about prayer, and I challenged them. I said, look, how much time, you say you may not have time to spend time in prayer with the Lord in a relationship, how much time are you spending on your phone? You seem to have an intimate relationship with your phone, not with the creator of the universe.
That's right. And now our phones in the well-being section can actually break it down and tell you how long you're spending on your phone on various apps within your phone. And it's a bit scary. But it's something that I encourage us to all look at because it might be a wake-up call as well.
Well, that's true. That is true. And very, very sad that this mother feels that, you know, her child, Jules, passed away. He was only 14.
Yeah.
And there must have been some impact from the addiction.
Oh, absolutely. There's nasty, nasty stuff that happened online.
Absolutely.
And, mm-hmm. you know, we both know that, being the roles that we're in and me being in a former education role for 10 years. There are nasty, nasty stuff that happen online, way nastier than you could ever fathom happening or people talking about here in real life.
Well, face-to-face it doesn't seem to happen, but on Facebook and Instagram, some of these other sites, they seem to just let go with all of their emotions because there's no regulation and nobody's going to stop them or give them a look or it's very interesting. I've seen it a few times. I try to stay away from all of that.
Yeah,
but yes,
that's right.
There's no doubt that's happened. So
yeah,
I feel very sad for this mother. She's lost her son, and I'm glad that people are speaking up.
Yeah, it's good.
In the UK.
It's good they're speaking up. Yeah,
I don't think we're going to be able to stop it all. As we've found in Australia, there's ways around things. I mean, children are very clever.
Oh,
it's a language to them that they pick up.
That's right.
Yes.
Yeah, they're smarter than us. The next generation is definitely smarter than us.
They don't have the experience, perhaps, but they have they seem to be able to analyze and understand the language.
It's just native
of computers and programs. Yes.
Yeah, and they're very good at hiding what they're actually doing on it as well many times.
Well, some adults do the same, I think. They hide what's going on. So
yeah, I guess it's a bit of a reality check. Yes, there's good in technology. We wouldn't be going across Australia live at the moment if it wasn't for technology, and so we do praise the Lord for that.
Absolutely. So it can be used for good.
It can be used for good.
It can be used for evil.
Can be used for evil.
And sometimes because the enemy of our souls is very subtle.
Yes.
He will use all sorts of subtle ways to get you watching the phone, looking at the phone, looking at apps.
And that's right.
Sometimes looking at things you shouldn't, getting involved in things you shouldn't, perhaps becoming addicted to gambling. There's a whole lot of things. And things are filling you up with things from the enemy rather than things from God filling you up.
And you might not realize it's affecting you, but this stuff actually gets into your mind and
mind, body, spirit is affected.
You actually don't realize the effect this is having on you. Mm-hmm. Might not come across straight away, but it does influence us and our decisions later on down the track.
Absolutely. And they've even started to show scientific evidence is coming out that blue light at night
shouldn't
do it for an hour.
That's right.
So that your body can settle down because overstimulating.
Yeah.
Even the television can be overstimulating. And then your body can't relax and sleep well. So there's this cycle of unrest and a situation that some people get themselves into. They don't even realize what's going on.
Yeah.
And they become more and more unhappy, distressed, unwell, physically unwell. So
yes. I've been wanting for a while indeed to get a dumb phone.
A
smartphone, a dumb phone. One that, you remember the old Nokia ones,
What about the big boxes?
The big box with the antennas sticking out. Remember that?
And they were just a phone.
They were just a phone.
Up.
You know,
that's
maybe
right.
Even send a text message if you're lucky.
That's right. But you had to wait for the news till you got home at night.
That's right.
6 o'clock news and the weather, you had to wait.
Yeah, you did.
Now we check it. You check it throughout the day.
What's the latest forecast? It's such a different world than when we grew up in, isn't it?
We have sort of instant information.
Instant information. and artificial information and all sorts of information. It's a real strange world we're in. And yeah, it's sad sometimes seeing results and situations like this. Your heart breaks.
Absolutely.
For these people. We're going to go to a break now and listen to a song. This is Andrew Peterson and the song's entitled More.
Is not the end here at this grief. This is just a hole that someone made. Every hole was made to fill, and every heart can feel it still. Our nature hates a vacuum. This is not the hardest part of all. This is just the seed that has to fall. All our lives we till the ground until we lay our sorrows down and watch the sky fall.
Welcome back. You're listening to Faith FM Drive Time, Big Q&A with Caden and Lindy. We've got a beautiful book on offer today, and this book is a cracker. This is entitled Satan's First Lie by Steve Wahlberg. If you haven't got this book, you need to get this book because this book's all about our topic for today. Let me read you about this book, Satan's First Lie by Steve Wahlberg. What really happens when a person dies? Around the world, there are countless beliefs about death, about the afterlife, even ghosts and spirits. Some ideas are comforting, some are frightening, and many are just confusing. But where do all these ideas come from, and how do they compare with what the Bible actually teaches? In Satan's First Lie, Steve Wahlberg takes readers back to the very beginning, to the Garden of Eden, where the serpent first said to Eve, "You will not surely die." Well, that ancient lie opened the door to sin, death, and deception. And in this book, it shows how the same idea still echoes through many popular beliefs about death today. So this book, Satan's First Lie, it's grounded on strong biblical teaching and what the Bible says, and it will provide insights to expose global myths about death, about ghosts, and about the afterlife, while pointing readers to the peace, the truth, and the hope found in Scripture. Don't we want to turn to what God actually says on this topic? If you do, I encourage you to get this book, because this book has got all the Scripture and put it into a nice pocket-sized edition to give you all the answers you need about Satan's first lie that is still being repeated again and again today. So to get this book, Satan's First Lie, you do need to message us on our drive time number. You need to text us a code. The code that you need to put in for this book is SA418. That's SA418. And you just text that to our drive time number, 0488 808 11. And we would love to send you this book. This is entirely free. If you're listening for the first time, you haven't claimed one of our free offers, you just text us in and our robot will text you back to get the details that we need, and the book will get on its way as soon as it can to you, free of charge, and we'll get it to you for free as well. There's no strings attached. It's a community gift that we want to offer each of you. So again, the code is SA418. This is the book Satan's First Lie by Steve Wahlberg, brilliant author. And you text that in to 0488 808 11. And we'll get this book to you as soon as we can. Satan's First Lie. I've read many books by Steve Wahlberg, brilliant author. Love the way that he simplifies things and just puts it in a neat package. Very, very good author. So Satan's First Lie, the code SA418. Text that to 0488 808 11, and we'll get the book to you as soon as we can.
This program is made possible by the support of Adventist World Radio.
Thank you very much to our station sponsor, and this is Faith FM Drive Time Big Q&A. This week our theme has been Beyond the Grave, the Bible and the passing of death. Today we're looking into our big question, looking at, is the resurrection real? Across the world, people have many different ideas about what happens after death. Some believe in ghosts, some believe in spirits, some believe that there is life after death, while others see that death is the end, there's nothing else. Others say you might turn into or reincarnate to something else, depending on how you were in the life. So Lindy, with all these questions and with everything that the world teaches us, as we turn to the Bible, what does the Bible actually teach about death and specifically the resurrection? Lindy, is the resurrection real? Is there really hope beyond death?
Well, thankfully, yes, Pastor Caden, there is hope beyond death. And I think it's very important for us to understand that when people die, in Ecclesiastes 9 verse 5, it says, "For the living know that they will die." We talked about this, didn't we?
Yeah.
The two things we can be certain about, taxes and death.
So it's pretty clear.
It's pretty clear. And the Bible says, "For the living know that they will die, but the dead know nothing."
Nothing at all.
"And they have no more reward, for the memory of them is forgotten." Well, their memory is forgotten.
Yes.
Not that we forget them, particularly if we know them. We will.
Yeah, that's right.
Them.
But I guess as the stream of time passes on,
they're forgotten because
they're eventually forgotten.
Exactly.
Yeah, you know, unless they did something great or horrific, I guess.
So it's very clear to me that when you die, you know nothing. And also, we've come to understand, because we love the Lord Jesus, that he's the source of all resurrection and life. And he tells us himself, Jesus, he says in John 11:25, "I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he may die, he shall live, and whoever lives and believes in me shall never die." Now, that sounds a little bit complicated, but it's not really what Jesus is saying. If you believe in him, we may die this earthly death, but we shall live because we believe in him, because there's a resurrection.
So it won't be forever.
It won't be forever.
Okay.
It won't be forever. And so I think, and there possibly some of our listeners have been believing untruths and but don't realize it. It may be a comfort to them that they start to understand that the enemy can use lies like this. For example, sometimes people who lose their loved ones become very, very distressed, and then they think that their loved ones have appeared to them. It sounds like them. It looks like them. They may say things like them. They won't be there the whole time, and more often than not, they will appear during the night time. But these are actually Satan's demons.
Yes.
Impersonating that person.
Yes, that's what the Bible teaches. We saw example in the Bible when the prophet Samuel apparently appeared to Saul when he went to a witch to summon Samuel up.
That's right.
The Bible makes it clear that that wasn't Sir Samuel.
That's not
that
Samuel.
The witch was summoning up. It was a demon impersonating Samuel.
Exactly.
But it can sound very much the same and look the same.
And can be very convincing.
Very convincing.
We need to know what the Bible says, because God's given us as evidences to show us. And so really, and I've attended a lot of different funerals from different faiths and religions, and one of the things that I've been a bit surprised about, Pastor Caden, is that the priest will say one minute the person's in the grave, or sometimes they're in a casket in front of you with the lid open, and sometimes they talk about them being in heaven, and they just don't seem to quite know where they are.
Where are they?
Whereas the Bible makes it clear, the dead know nothing, so they're in the ground resting.
Yes.
What we say, rest in peace.
We do say rest in peace.
So they're in the ground, dust to dust, ashes to ashes.
That's right.
And so there's some confusion here, and it's come from Satan.
Satan's first lie.
Exactly. He loves to cause confusion. He's of chaos. So if we look at what it says in 1 Thessalonians 4:13-18, this is very interesting, Pastor Caden, and something we can learn off by heart, this beautiful scripture. And here Paul is saying, but I do not want you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning those who have fallen asleep. He's talking about death, lest you sorrow as others who have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so, God will bring with him those who sleep in Jesus. So, and then it goes on to say, for this we say to you by the word of the Lord, now listen to this part, that we who are alive and remain until the coming of the Lord will by no means precede those who are asleep. Very interesting. So those who are dead are going to be raised, and they will be taken up first.
Lindy, I've met a number of people who've said to me, we can't possibly know what happens after death. No one's there. And even Christians have told me this. But Paul says in this verse very clearly, and that God doesn't want us to be ignorant of what happens after death.
Exactly. And that's why he tells us so much in the Word.
Yeah.
For our well-being. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout.
That's the Lord Jesus Christ.
With the voice of an archangel and with the trumpet of God. And this is the important part. And the dead in Christ will rise first.
Ah, is this the resurrection now?
So they're not in heaven. They're being risen from the earth. And they put on immortality.
Well, if they were in heaven, what's the point of Jesus coming back?
Doesn't make sense.
To raise them up.
It's not rational.
It is not
Why
rational.
Why have a resurrection if everybody who's supposedly going to be in the kingdom, and I find it interesting too that every funeral, even for those who aren't Christians, they seem to make this assumption that they're going to heaven, going straight to heaven.
Yeah.
Then we who are alive, just continuing this scripture, then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and thus we'll always be with the Lord. When I was in high school, I was in a cantata with the choir, and we sang this beautiful cantata by Peterson, and we sung these beautiful words, we shall meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we always be with the Lord.
They're just beautiful words, Lindy.
And it says, therefore, comfort one another with these words. So when we go to a funeral, we can have this comfort knowing that there is an actual resurrection, that Jesus is coming again, and that those who are in the ground that have loved the Lord
yes.
will be raised up. So Jesus also said in John 5:28-29, "Do not marvel at this," he says, "for the hour is coming in which all who are in the graves will hear his voice and come forth, those who have done good to the resurrection of life, and those who have done evil to the resurrection of condemnation."
So there's not just one resurrection, you're saying. There's two in Scripture.
There's two.
Yeah. Yes. And so everyone who's ever lived is going to be raised at some point.
That's exactly right.
Wow.
It makes it very, very clear.
Wow.
And so if we are believing that people are already in heaven, then there doesn't need to be a resurrection.
No. What, there's no need of the resurrection. There's no need of Jesus coming back to go raise people, to meet him in the air, as the verse said.
That's right. And I think that some people have some confusion with this. I've spoken to Christians who go, "Oh, well, we believe that people go straight to heaven if they're godly people, and yours is a bit delayed. you believe it's delayed."
Well, this is what the Bible teaches. I know in the book of Acts, it talks about King David's tomb there. And in the book of Acts, it says there that they're acknowledging David's tomb is with us, and here it is today. There it is. They knew where it was. And they said, if you read in the book of Acts there, it says, "He is still there. He has not yet ascended into the heavens."
That's right.
Now, this is well over 1,000 years after David lived.
That's right.
If anyone was going to make it to heaven straight away, if that was
a man after
what God
God's
did,
own heart.
You know, he wasn't perfect, obviously, but the Bible does say he was a man after God's own heart.
That's right.
You know, he should have made it.
So I think the Bible's very clear.
It is.
I don't think there's any need for us to be confused.
No.
I remember when I worked in aged care, we had lots of different residents, and many I'd known for some years. There was one man in particular. His daughter had been a teacher to my children. I'd known them for a long time, and I felt really sad when he became unwell. And in my mind, I spoke to him and I said, I want to pray that you're healed. I feel like, you know, perhaps I was hanging on to him a bit, didn't want him to go. He had a wife and daughter still, and yet he had such a faith and a hope in the Lord. He wasn't concerned whether he was healed or not, because he knew, you know, he was tired. He'd worked hard for the church all his life. He was ready to go to sleep.
Yes.
Because he knew it would be sleep like a blink of an eye, because once you've gone.
Oh, that's right. Like
blink of an eye, he'll be raised up to meet the Lord in the air.
The Bible uses those exact words, in the twinkling of an eye, because it's just like sleep, isn't it? You go to bed at night.
Exactly.
And then some of us fall asleep sooner or later, but when you do fall asleep, guess what? It's morning, almost your next conscious thought, isn't it?
That's exactly right. And so
it's a good metaphor.
It is. It is a good metaphor. So
and reading Psalm 23, as you read through that, King David talks about this concept of the valley of the shadow of death, but he talks about the hope beyond that, so that you pass through this shadow of death, but it's only a shadow. You pass through that, and God's gonna receive you back, raise you back up, and take you to heaven to be with him at the table. He's prepared for you there.
Well, when Jesus went to the cross, we know that he died, and that the veil of the temple was torn from top to bottom. And then it even says in Matthew 27:52, the graves were opened and many bodies of the saints who had fallen asleep were raised.
Yes.
So that was
a special resurrection.
A special resurrection coming out of the graves after his resurrection.
That's right.
They went into the holy city, which is Jerusalem, and appeared to many.
Yeah.
It's only mentioned in Matthew, so it was probably a fairly localized, small thing, but people saw them.
It mentions elsewhere in the New Testament there that they were first fruits.
The first fruits,
and,
yes.
And Jesus, you know, released some of these captives and took them back to say, I've gained the victory. And
not in the Gospels, I don't think. I think it's in
it's in the writings of Paul. I can't remember the book though.
Or maybe even John talks about it as well. But those first fruits. So the resurrection is a real happening that is going to take place.
It's literal, isn't it?
It is.
And it's not
so exciting, really.
We're not going to be resurrected as a spirit or as a ghost, are we, Lindy?
No.
Like you wouldn't come back to haunt anyone, would you?
No, definitely. Well, my husband might wonder. No, definitely not. And this is what some people seem to have, because they perhaps haven't understood what's written in the Bible, there's a lot of tradition around.
Yeah.
There's a lot of the enemy at work trying to distract people from truth, and so they're believing lies. And then whenever you believe lies, the enemy can have more access to harass you and cause you to go down the wrong path.
Absolutely.
So we need to believe the truths. Jesus came to set the captives free.
Now, Lily, I've met people that have told me they understand this perspective and they understand it all, but they say, who cares? Why does it matter? Why does it matter what we believe on this topic and death and the resurrection? How would you answer that?
That's a hard question. I remember years ago in Victoria, we ran a program called Road to Bethlehem.
Yes.
Which was going for over 30 years.
Wow.
When we first started out, just 300 or 400 people came through, and then by the time we left Victoria, there was something like 14,000-15,000 people coming through over four nights. So they moved it from Nunawading to Lilydale, and we had a prayer tent, and I was often in charge of the prayer tent, and sometimes people would come in to have, they wanted someone to pray for them.
Yes.
And they would ask me to pray for their deceased loved ones.
Okay.
And so I didn't want to, it wasn't the time or place to give them a Bible study.
No.
It was the time or place to bless them and encourage them. So what I would pray, I would thank God for that person's life and the impact that it had on the person in front of me, and pray for a blessing over the person that was alive, obviously.
Yes.
Because once a person's died, things have finished. They've decided to a certain extent. I can't keep praying for them after they've passed on.
No, because
there's no intercession after
death.
There's
no intercession. Because many of these Christian denominations teach different things about what happens when you die. Perhaps there's other states of consciousness.
That's right.
Different levels where you can get a second, third, fourth, fifth chance or whatever it is, or even purgatory.
Well, they take a few analogies in the Bible quite literally, and they weren't meant to be literal. They're really just a story to illustrate a point. And so, and then they use that. And look, it's like when you talk about hell, hell isn't like a lot of people believe.
The devil's not in charge of hell, that's for sure.
No.
It was designed, the Bible says, for him and his army of demons.
That's right. That's right. And really, it's not so much a place as a state of being, in that there'll be, at the end times, a fire that comes down. So, yes, if people go straight to heaven when they die, well, why would there be a resurrection? It's a second coming. Why would there be a resurrection? I know that some people say, oh, well, their soul goes to heaven, but the soul is a person. We are living souls. You and I are living souls. We don't have a soul. We are living souls.
I'm a poor soul.
Yes. You're not that too bad. But so we are living souls, and we are created mind, body, and spirit. And if anything goes back to God, the Bible would talk about the breath, wouldn't it?
Yes.
The breath goes back to God.
That's right.
And so,
because it was the breath of God that was put into us to make us living.
Yes.
It's right. Like the spark of life, isn't it?
And let's be honest, Pastor Caden, only a creator God with infinite power could take, you know, I think about some of my relatives in the ground, and for some reason, occasionally I even reflect on perhaps what's left of them. It's probably not good thinking, but it's only a God, a creator God, and an amazing God who can take what's left in the grave, and there will be some places there's nothing left in the grave.
No.
They may have been buried at sea and sharks ate them. We don't know.
That's right.
It's only a creator God who can restore and bring back.
Mm.
You know, it says we go into the grave and come out sort of as we are, and then mortal puts on immortality. And so I don't know about you, but it's pretty exciting. I've lost a few relatives. Some didn't have faith in God. Some did. God is the judge, not me. But wouldn't it be amazing to see some of them restored and transformed at the resurrection when Jesus comes?
It's such a beautiful thought, and it's such great hope that we have as Christians. We're going to go to a break and listen to a song. This is Chris Rice, Were You There?
Were you there when they crucified my Lord? Were you there when they crucified my Lord? Oh, sometimes it causes me to tremble, tremble, tremble. Were you there when they crucified my Lord? Were you there when they nailed him to the tree? Were you there when they nailed him to the tree? Oh, sometimes it causes me to tremble, tremble, tremble. Were you there when they nailed him to the tree? Were you there when they laid him in the tomb? Were you there when they laid him in the tomb? Oh, sometimes it causes me to tremble, tremble, tremble. Were you there when they laid him in the tomb? Were you there when they rolled away the stone? Sins away. Were you there when he washed my sins away? Oh, 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 sometimes it causes me to tremble, tremble, tremble. Were you there when he washed my sins away?
That was Chris Rice. Were you there? Welcome back. You're listening to Faith FM Drive Time, Big Q&A with Lindy and Caden. This week, we've been talking about the topic of death. Is the resurrection real? And we've got a free giveaway that we want to offer each of you. This is a fantastic little book. It's a pocket-sized book with a lot of information about death and what the Bible teaches, what really happens when a person dies. This is the book entitled Satan's First Lie. It's written by the great author Steve Wahlberg. I love reading Steve's books. And it says this, around the world there are countless beliefs about death. That's right, Lindy, isn't there? There's countless.
There is.
About ghosts, spirits.
Reincarnation, all sorts of things.
Oh, that's a big one. Mm. Yeah, big one. That one. Yeah, what happens in the afterlife? Some ideas are comforting. Some are just frightening. Others are just very confusing. And I guess when you put them all together, it is a confusing topic. But the Bible wants to make it clear what happens when we die. And so this book will look at and compare what the world says to what Scripture actually teaches. The author, Steve Wahlberg, will take you back in this book to the very beginning in the Garden of Eden, where the serpent, the devil, first said to Eve, "You shall not surely die." And that ancient lie has opened the door to sin, death, and deception, even to today. So this book will show how that same idea still echoes through the popular beliefs about death today. And so this book, it's got clear, fundamental Bible teaching. Very practical. It's going to expose global myths about death and looking at the hope-filled journey through the Bible and what God offers us, the hope beyond death, beyond the grave, to look at and to look forward with confidence to what God has promised in the future. So this is just a great book. If you are thinking about getting this, I encourage you to get it. It's entirely for free. But if you read this, I'm sure you'll find it very fascinating. You'll learn a lot of information that perhaps you've never heard before of what the Bible actually says. And so to get this book, you just need to text us. Text us on our drive time number. The code you need to text us is SA418, and you just text that code by itself to 0488 808 11, and we will send you this book absolutely for free. And so please, if you want this book, just text the code SA418 to 0488 808 11, and we'll get this book to you as quickly as we can. Everything's for free. There's no strings attached. As soon as you text us in, our robot, Faith FM robot here on Drive Time, will text you back. Just going to get your name and where to send it to. So, yeah, finally, the code SA418. And just text that to 0488 808 11. We can't wait to get this book into your hands.
This program is made possible by the support of Adventist World Radio.
You are listening to Faith FM Drive Time, Big Q&A with Lindy and Caden. This week, our theme is Beyond the Grave, the Bible and the Passing of Death. And today we have been diving into the big question. The big question for today is the resurrection real? Lindy, as we think about the resurrection, because the scripture clearly teaches us that there is one. Jesus mentions it a number of times. It's mentioned elsewhere a number of times. I know Daniel and John and others. We just read Paul mentions it. It's everywhere.
It is throughout the Bible.
It's just there, Lindy.
It is, and it looks like somebody named Stephen wants to get that book.
Yes.
Cheerio to Stephen, and I think
I know Stephen.
Blessed.
Yeah, it's great to have you accepting this book, Stephen, and I hope your family is going to be blessed by it.
You know, as we consider this topic, it's a really important one, because if we don't understand what the Bible teaches about it, we can get caught up in things that the enemy would like to use to gain access to our lives, to cause us distress, to cause us issues and problems. And so we just need to be reminded that there was a first resurrection. Jesus was resurrected after 3 days, from the Friday to the Sunday. And there were other people at that time resurrected, and they were seen in the city of Jerusalem. And so now there's a second resurrection. It's not that people, when they die, go straight to the kingdom. And I know some people use that scripture because when Jesus was on the cross and the thief said, you know, Jesus said, today you will see me in heaven. But often they used words today, and then today I'm saying this to you.
Yeah.
Because if that was true, well, Jesus would have gone straight to heaven with him, and he didn't.
And the Bible says that when Jesus was resurrected and came back to life, he told his disciples, I have not yet ascended to my Father in heaven.
That's exactly right.
So when Jesus died, he didn't go to heaven, that's for sure.
He certainly didn't.
And so people say it wrong. When Jesus said to the thief on the cross, today you'll be with me in paradise, he just says, assuredly I say to you today, this day, you will be with me in paradise.
Yes, I'm telling you today.
I'm telling you today.
I'm here.
It's like an oath. It's a classic oath in scripture where,
that's right,
you know, I swear today this is going to happen. It's so twisted.
Because people perhaps, the Bible to me is a tapestry, Pastor Caden, and people need to read all parts of it with the guidance of the Holy Spirit,
yes,
who promises to lead us into all truth.
Yes.
And so, you know, as I said before in John 11:25, Jesus says, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he may die, he shall live.
Mm.
And whoever lives and believes in me shall never die. In other words, at the resurrection, those who love the Lord Jesus will be raised up to meet him in the air.
Yeah, and there's those two groups you read in Thessalonians. When Jesus comes back, there's the righteous who are asleep, who will get raised, and then it says those who are alive will then be raised to meet the Lord in the air as well, these two groups. And that completely matches with what Jesus taught. You remember that story about the transfiguration on the mount there? And we had two famous characters appear with Jesus. Do you remember who they were?
Yes, Elijah and Moses.
That's right, Elijah and Moses. Now,
you're trying to trick me.
No, it's not a trick question.
I had to think quick.
But you know why both of those characters in particular were the ones that were there?
So Moses actually passed away.
He passed away. Mm-hmm. He died. Mm-hmm. And then the Bible teaches, if you read the book of Jude, that Jesus came and resurrected him.
That's right, because Satan contended for his body. He didn't want him to be resurrected.
That's right. So it was another special resurrection. However, Elijah's different.
He went straight up.
He was one of those amazing, rare people that actually never died.
Never died.
And so here
and
on
we
the,
hope to be those people, don't we, Caden?
Every generation Jesus does. Yes. And, you know, it's something that would be amazing to not see death. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, the Bible does say there's going to be terrible times before Jesus does come back. And so those who have died are going to be saved from that, I guess. True. However, this Mount of Transfiguration, Jesus was using this parable, this type here to show that when Jesus does return, there's going to be these two types. There's going to be those in Moses' category who have died, but then will be resurrected. And there'll be people like Elijah who will not see death and be raised up. And yet Jesus is going to save everyone who believes and accepts in him, and we're all going to be going to heaven.
He's a those resurrection who choose and him. And it looks like another cheerio to Damien, who wants that book as well. So great that you're listening to this very important topic. And when we can understand this, we have such hope, don't we, Pastor Caden? And we have such joy in our lives. We have such peace because we know that our loved ones are safe.
Yes.
They're safe.
They're safe.
In God's care.
They're not in hell. They're not in purgatory.
They're not being
fried by the devil.
They're not in heaven looking down, concerned about what's going on.
That's
I know
right.
some people say that. And
that's
I think,
right.
Who would want to be looking down and seeing what's happening with your loved ones, particularly when there's times of trouble and difficulties? That wouldn't be heaven, would it? You wouldn't have joy in your heart seeing that sin is still going on. I think God is so gracious to us.
That's right.
That he lets us rest. He lets us sleep, rest in peace. And then when Jesus comes again, we are resurrected. I love this scripture, Pastor Caden, in Revelation 22:12-13. And here's Jesus speaking. He says, "And behold, I'm coming quickly, and my reward is with me to give everyone according to his work. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last."
Yes.
You know, all through the word, the scriptures are powerful and life transforming as we understand that when people die, they rest in peace, they rest in the ground. There's not something going on in some spiritual manner. And then when Jesus comes again, he calls them from the earth to come forward from the graves and to meet him in the air. And then we shall also, if we are alive, I'd like to think we might be, but we don't know, we shall be caught up to meet the Lord in the air as well.
Oh, it's beautiful. Yep, fantastic. Jesus is the first and the last, which means he will have the last say. Death doesn't get the last say. Jesus will.
And we're going to be with the Lord forever. This will be like this incredible gift that we'll get to spend eternity with Jesus. All of us from this earth who have responded to his call to salvation and his call to respond to his love for us.
So friends, don't accept the devil's lie. Don't accept these ideas and these teachings going around the world. Look to the Bible, because so many people and churches teach that there's second chances after death. But the Bible doesn't teach that at all. The Bible says that this is our chance now to accept Jesus Christ. There is no other opportunity in another life. It is now or never.
Well, it's while we're in our most capable state.
That's right.
We're capable with our brain to make a decision and a choice for God. But when we're finished, our time is over, and our body is deteriorating in the ground back to dust, there's nothing there. It's finished for that period of time until Jesus comes again and raises us up.
Yes.
And I can't wait for that day, Pastor Caden. That is going to be in such an incredible day. And I just pray that our listeners are convicted of this, but don't just listen to Pastor Caden and Lindy. Get the book, get the Bible out, ask the Holy Spirit to guide you into all truth and understanding on this topic so you can lovingly share it with others and they can have such hope and peace in their hearts as well.
Yeah, look at the 50-plus times where the Bible talks about death as a sleep. It actually uses the word sleep instead of death. Uh-huh. Look at the examples
Jesus said about Lazarus.
He's of asleep. Lazarus.
Yes.
You know, look it's at asleep. That story. Yeah, Lazarus did not ascend to heaven, that's for sure, because it would have been a cruel joke if Jesus took him back down and Lazarus would have mentioned it for sure.
Absolutely, absolutely.
So, Lindy, I think we've answered this big question for today. Is the resurrection real? If you look in the Bible, it is really real, isn't it?
Absolutely. I think Pastor Gary will be happy with his team that we've answered this question in the best possible way that we know how.
Yeah, let's just stick to the Bible. Don't go to social media, Google or AI. Go to the Bible. Have a look at the crystal clear information Jesus wants to offer you in his word. Our time is up for today. Thank you for joining Lindy and Caden on Drive Time Big Q&A. And we invite you to join us tomorrow on Drive Time as Emily and Naomi continue this theme, asking the question, is heaven literal? Okay, that's a good topic. Until then, may God richly bless you. And just remember the Bible verse from Ecclesiastes 12 verse 7. Then shall the dust return to the earth as it was, and the spirit shall return unto God who gave it. May God richly bless you.
This program is made possible by the support of Adventist World Radio.